Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And I'm Zane Bauer.
Hey, whoa!
Whoa! Who's that? You weren't introduced! Oh my god.
Did I ruin everything?
Our friend Zane Bauer is here today.
Mm-hmm.
She's here to tell a story.
She's gonna tell a story. It's gonna be good.
Well.
It's about how she found a quarter.
And then I found $5.
So
the end.
That's the key to good storytelling. Just say that at the end. It was a good story. Uh-huh. You guys may know Zane if you've seen our Zelda trailer. She played Zelda. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can see it. We did it a long time ago, but we're still friends, even though we did that video.
Even though I was Zelda at that time.
Which
we're still friends.
Was a very hot button issue in the day.
I'm pretty bad in that video, but overall that video is good.
That video is really good. God of War is good too.
God of War is good.
Yeah,
you guys
were
both in God of War.
Yeah.
We used to make fake trailers, guys, but we'll put those in the show notes. But before we get into the fantasy, Josh and Zane, what did you guys do this week?
I watched the new Hobbit movie, Dom.
Oh, right. How did you feel about it?
I actually really liked it.
It's good.
I only have some problems. I don't mind that Legolas is in it at all.
No, me either.
He's fine. He's fine. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, actually, because he's the son of the king, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Why wouldn't he be there?
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
He'd be hanging out.
Yeah.
I just don't like
that. Get that hunk in there.
Yeah. He's like got crazy eyes in that movie a lot.
They really touched up his eyes with some
color correction, I think. Does he just lose that in the trilogy? He just doesn't have eyes anymore?
He relaxed them. He got some contacts.
I don't like that Sauron is in it at all.
That Sauron scene is really weird. That's a really weird edit.
Dude,
right?
Guys, spoilers. I haven't seen it, man.
Zane, you should have stolen it off the internet.
I'm such an asshole. I still haven't seen this fucking movie.
Since we spoiled it, we're going to go ahead and spoil it all.
Yeah.
Okay,
Sauron comes out and wags his big old wiener.
Yeah. And it's all shadowy looking. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's on fire, and Gandalf is like, my God.
And he starts salivating because he just wants to suck it so bad.
Yeah, he's a lot like that wolf in Red Hot Riding Hood.
Yeah.
How about you, Zane? What were you up to?
You know, same old. I petting ponies, kissing ponies. But I was also, like, desperately trying to write a story for fantasy fiction. So I played.
Hey, but you played some Skyrim, too, right?
I played Skyrim because I was trying to write the story, and I was like, I don't remember fantasy things. And I was like, well, just play some Skyrim, because everything in Skyrim is, like, Dark Falls Barrow. And I was like, that'll be perfect. But then I just kind of played Skyrim for, like, 4 hours.
Nice.
So.
I imagine you trying to think of a fantasy story, and it's just a thought bubble with a shoe, and you're like, and then it turns into a can, and you're like, I don't know what fantasy is.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I hadn't been doing any fantasy stuff recently, so I was like, I don't know fantasy things or words. Like, I don't know.
I'll tell you guys what I did, because now it's my turn. This week, I watched The Fall. Have you guys seen that?
I love that movie. That movie's
that movie
awesome.
Is so good. Dude. Have you seen it, Zane?
No, I haven't.
It's so good.
It's not the series The Fall. It's the movie The Fall.
Noted.
Which is why I said movie.
Oh, the movie.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, that's right. It's different.
All right.
It's really great. If you haven't seen it, it's about a... should I go over what it's about?
I'm just gonna talk about it. It's a great movie.
Okay.
Lee Pace, the main actor, who is the king.
Phenomenal.
He's the elf king. In the new
movie. Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Total tie-in.
Yep.
I'm not going to go over to the film too much. You should really just watch it. It used to be on Netflix. It's not anymore. It's called The Fall. It came out in about 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check it out. I loved it. I also played the beginning of Last of Us. Have you played Last of Us?
No, I think we're going to play it on the Continue cast.
Okay, if you guys are doing that, I want to be on that Continue cast because I played the first, like, the intro, and holy crap, I was blown away. The way they use storytelling in the intro of this game is phenomenal. You should, if you haven't played it, check it out. Yeah. I can't wait to play it.
I hope we do it next, because now I'm excited to do a game.
Yeah, because I have it, too, so I could totally play it.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Other than that, what do you say we get into some fantasy?
Yeah!
Are we sandstorming?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's fantasy. That's what fantasy sounds like.
Come on,
sounds
Zane.
Like sandstorm.
Guys, are you ready?
Yeah.
For my story?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, no. No, then.
I mean, no.
Oh. Good night, everybody.
Well, that was pretty good. Finn.
Finn. All right, my story, which I did not try to name at all, is named Pussy Cave Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I know where this one is going.
All right.
Straight on down to Bone Town.
That's accurate. Deep in the smelliest, butthole-like caves of Deranos lives a gaggle of ground trolls who were so smelly they made rancid milk coming out of a yeasty vagina look and taste like Yoo-Hoo.
Jesus fucking Christ.
God.
Good night, everybody.
Unnecessary.
That was probably the best American written words ever.
Hello, Pulitzer. It's me again.
It's me, the yeast pussy guy.
Ground trolls, unlike their cousins, regular trolls, or quote, reggy trolls, are very stupid and very allergic to sunlight. These ground trolls were notorious for hatching crazy schemes in order to try and take over as the ruling class of Deranos. There was the get-rich-quick-by-painting-everything-gold scheme, the win-the-pie-eating-contest-to-become-king scheme, and the grandpappy of them all, the replace-all-the-turnips-in-the-land-with-castrated-bull-scrotums-and-gross-everybody-out scheme, or as it's referred to today, the 9/11 of Deranos.
Oh, my God. The first 9/11 joke.
We're 24.
It's not really a 9/11 joke. It's just a reference to a very tragic time. You're making a comparison.
Yeah, it's not me. I'm not the author. Oh, wait.
Wait.
Yep, these guys were as diabolical as they were stupid, and their leader, Blurg, had come up with a doozy of a plan to strike fear and terror so deep into the psyche of Deranosian citizens that it'd make your mama say, "I just dookied my panties, boys, but tell your daddy I'll deal with it later because, boy, am I afraid of this stupid, idiotic troll's dumb, whack-ass, boner-ass plan."
That old idiom.
Wow, that's a... I really hope my mom never tells me that.
Your mom never told you that?
No.
Oh, man.
My childhood was different.
What kind of shitty childhood did you have?
Yeah, right? "Boys," shouted Blurg, "we need a new plan to terrorize these normies on the surface. Ideas, now." "I don't know, boss," said Nasty Joe, a troll with such huge troll tits that he had to wear three bras to hold them suckers down. "I once saw a huge cat walking around with giant muscles. That's not very normal." "No, but that is awesome. Buy your buff cat shirts today," replied Perler.
"They aren't ready, Josh."
"Soon." "No. What we need is to form a bone car gang," he continued, as all the trolls cheered and one started jerking off into his stew. "Then we'll finally be cool. I mean, then we'll finally strike fear into those hoity-toity turnip-eating Deranosians." "But where are we going to find the bones for our bone rides?" Nasty Joe questioned. Blurg turned and looked at him and then double nip-twisted his nasty-ass titties and said, "I'll show you where we're going to get the bones. I know a guy! Soon the troll gang began their trek through the underground cavernous butthole-smelling territory and arrived at an underground entrance to a spooky cave that kind of looked like a vagina, but scarier.
Wow. That's pretty scary.
It is. That was the most arduous trek our kind has ever undertaken, said Blur. When we left, I was a completely different person. But now, I'm a new troll man. It was the hardest 15 minutes of my life, replied the troll who jerked off into his stew. And then he sipped on his stew long and hard.
Ew. Oh, man.
He loves jizz.
That troll is pretty gross.
It is gross. As the gang entered the labia majora of the cave, they saw what they had journeyed an age for. The bones of a huge dragon. Since everyone knows, only magical dragon bones can make top-of-the-line bone cards.
That's true. That's canon, actually. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, you filthy pieces of shit. Start collecting them bones, Blurg shouted. Just as the troll gang was about to pick up the giant dragon's skull, a rumble shook the cave. Suddenly, a burst of light sprung through the cave ceiling and instantly turned one troll into stone, which was embarrassing as fuck because he had a huge boner at the time.
Embarrassing? I don't know. You were kind of immortalized with
the giant boner.
Forever.
That is pretty cool, actually. That's how I want to go.
Forever boner.
Landing with a thud on the ground stood another huge dragon. Axel the Dragon.
Oh, damn.
Get away from my wife's bones, you nasty pieces of shitty shit, he boomed.
Oh, double damn. I see what's happening here.
The trolls froze immediately and some ran away. Axel let out a roar and roasted them before they could exit the cave. They lay on the ground, smoldering in agony, and they turned into giant turkeys, and then one of them pooped out of fear.
Why did they turn into turkeys?
Why not?
Why not? It's canon.
You know what? You guys pose a great argument. Continue.
Hold firm, troll brothers, Blurg ordered. The trolls stood firm and drew their weapons. Most of them just had old boards with nails sticking out of them. We'll kill this dragon and make double bone cards. Axel sighed. You fucking idiots. This is my wife's grave! Oh, Blurg was stunned. I'm sorry, how did she die? An epic battle? Was she hunted for her scales? Was it marauders looking for revenge? Two epic battles? No, cancer, Axel replied.
Oh my god.
Terrible, deadly, horrible wing cancer. The trolls were stunned and kind of saddened. Suddenly, their bone cars didn't seem so important anymore, although bone cars are fucking awesome, and they still wanted them.
This is a sobering tale.
Right. So, Nasty Joe began, so why are you even in your wife's grave? Band practice, Axel replied. Band practice? Yeah, Axel continued. What's more metal than starting a metal band and holding practice in your dead wife's tomb?
Axel, you clearly are not dealing with your wife's death.
He's not handling it well, I don't think.
He needs grief counseling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The trolls all agreed that indeed was pretty metal when suddenly something else burst through the cave ceiling, causing more sunlight to spill in, hitting one troll and instantly turning him into stone. But this one had all seven penises erect.
Guys, how do you heighten? Just give the guy more dicks.
Give him more dicks. Story writing 101.
You guys stick with us, all right?
We know a few things.
We'll take care of you.
Yeah. The trolls readied their weapons as they saw Canterbury Hawkstrider riding on his flying dog named Dogwings. Dogwings not only had cool wings, but also wore a World War I style pilot hat and goggles, making him pretty much the coolest dog in Darren.
That is fucking awesome.
I'll say so.
As Canterbury flew around in the air, Axel started playing the sickest guitar solo the ground trolls had ever heard. All the ground trolls began to mosh in a circle pit so fucking hard. They were picking up change, skanking, headbanging, punching each other just to feel feelings other than the dark thoughts in their own tortured mind. Axel began to sing, "Are you hitting on my dead wife? Don't you know she's just a pile of dead bones? We're gonna rip out your throat and piss down your neck holes. Pile of bones, pile of stones, pile of groans." As they did so, Canterbury and Dogwings were flying all the fuck around. They flew in and out of the cave, breaking through the surface and causing more sunlight to spill into the grave cave. As the...
I'm sorry.
You like that?
I did. I like that.
Grave cave was pretty good.
As the ground trolls circle pitted, more and more of them were frozen into stone versions of themselves. Pretty soon, every single ground troll was turned to fucking stone, save for Blurg and Nasty Joe. Canterbury landed Dogwings next to Axel, and then the two played the third greatest guitar duet in the history of anything, which was pretty good because this was their first practice.
I like that they were destroying his wife's grave in the process.
Dude, it's metal as shit, man.
I guess.
Dragons don't have respect for graves. That's canon. "Do you know why we kept you alive?" Axel roared. The ground trolls were stunned and silent. "We kept you alive so you could tell your friends about the most epic metal concert you've ever been to," Canterbury replied. "Go forth and speak of what you saw here today," said Axel. "Tell everyone about Wife Bones, Derinos' newest, most epic metal band." "You know," Blurg began, "we could get there a lot faster if we had some sort of bone car." Finn.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great story
of a
series of poor choices.
Thank you.
I enjoyed all the stone penises.
I really like...
That's why I wrote them in there, because I knew you'd be on this episode. Yeah.
I really like Nasty Joe.
Yeah, Nasty Joe's coming back. I like him.
He's just got a great name.
Nasty Joe.
All right. This story is called The Tablet of Murder Mountain.
Love it. You're starting off real good here.
Okay, you started off better than I did with mine title.
All right, here we go. There's nothing amazing about Ursula, and she hated it. She was one of a very small population of humans in Orcspire, and it meant that she was surrounded by awesome creatures. Spooky skeletons, smelly orcs, giant mud crabs. But Ursula was just human. She had no magical powers or abilities, and her dumb human body wasn't all that strong or skilled. Everything about her was average. Average height, average weight, average brown hair, average boobs.
What are average boobs?
They're just average boobs.
Can you draw average?
Okay. No, I can't.
How big are average boobs?
Yeah, how big are they?
They're average.
What is the average?
Like BC, I think, is average.
Okay, those are still good.
Yeah.
That's still nice.
They're average. Oh, you know what? Forget it.
Go ahead.
More than anything, she wanted to be a badass warrior. She kept a creased and crumpled picture of Throm in her pocket, with a heart drawn around it.
She loves Throm!
That's awesome.
Unfuckwittable, it said. Ursula wanted to be unfuckwittable. But mostly, she was just fuckwittable.
Damn.
That's fucking poetry.
That is poetry.
She labored at a farm during the day, and at night she would try, in vain, to train with her father's sword. No matter how hard she trained, though, she would never get better. Late one evening, Ursula made her way to the local tavern for a drink. "One mead, please," she slammed a gold piece down on the bar. "One barley wine, please," said a low voice. Ursula looked up. A small black cart pony with a white blaze stood next to her at the bar, looking just as dejected as her.
Go on.
"Are you a talking pony?" inquired Ursula. The pony nodded. "Yeah. Impressed, right?" Ursula nodded. She was impressed.
I like where this is going.
The pony hung its head. "I wish it was more impressive. Mostly it just gets me in trouble. It's the only thing special about me. I want to fight in battles, win wars, quest for awesome booty. But all I do is pull a cart. Ursula snorted. Tell me about it. I'm just as boring as you are. The bartender delivered the pony's barley wine, in a large bucket, of course. It was very important to me that, like, you know, you understand how ponies drink.
Yeah. I gotta be honest.
This is really good so far.
This is really good, but the pony is slightly less boring because it's a pony who can talk.
The pony's less boring than a human that can talk. That's true.
That's it. You solved the joke, Dom.
Oh, man.
The bartender delivered the pony's barley wine and raised one grizzled eyebrow at the pair standing unhappily before him. You know, he started, legend has it that the cave at the summit of Murder Mountain contains an old tablet. The tablet is inscribed, and the legend states that anyone who reads it, even mere mortals, will become imbued with magical powers and prowess.
I want to read that fucking tablet.
Ursula looked critically at the old man. If this was true, it could be the answer to all her prayers. That could be the answer to all of my prayers, said the pony. Dude, me too, cried Ursula. The two looked at each other. They were just a pony and a normal human girl, but maybe as partners they could become outstandingly cool. I'm Ursula, Ursula said, and extended her hand to the pony.
Or did Zane say that?
Right what you know, Dom, right what you know. I'm Clip Clop, said the pony, extending one hoof, and they shook. Somewhere in the distance, a faint guitar solo played. They finished their drinks and set out on their journey.
That's awesome.
It took them 3 days to make it to Murder Mountain. They stood at the base, looking up at it. This could be how we die, murmured Ursula, carefully checking Clip Clop's tack before getting on him. Or this could be how we get awesome, replied Clip-Clop.
You don't like this Clip-Clop attitude.
Yeah, he's right, right? They nodded, determined, and began to make their way up the mountain path. The higher they climbed up the path, the darker and colder it became. Soon they began to shiver, and their nose hairs froze, which is the fucking worst.
That's true.
Why is it so cold, chattered Clip-Clop, his breath coming out in big puffs. Fuck my ass, this is balls-ass fucking cold, replied Ursula. Suddenly the light changed, the path around them becoming a sickly green color. I think there's a sign up here, said Clip-Clop, squinting against the harsh light. He trotted up to it. It says, beware all ye who enter here, troll cave. Troll cave? Is that the only way through, said Ursula? I guess so, the path seems to go straight through it. Then let's motherfucking do this, Ursula said, sliding on her sweet sunglasses. Well, it got really bright and green. So she had to put her sunglasses on.
That's canon.
Inside the cave, the green light became brighter, and it seemed to get impossibly colder. The wind howled around them. They heard grunting and growling echoing through the cavern. As they inched closer, they began to make out an argument. You bald piece of shit, cried one deep voice. You knew I was saving that. Why would you throw it out? Another voice rang out. It was like one spoonful of ice cream, Larry, and it had been in the coldest corner of the cave for like 6 months. I just assumed you didn't want it anymore. Larry. I was saving it, you cock. The first voice let out a terrifying growl.
I like that to throw it out, though. He had to go, just one scoop. Nah, I'm getting rid of it. Yeah, and had to walk all the way out of the cave and toss it out of the cave.
You cannot throw it out in the cave. It's going to be there.
It was like more of a hassle to throw it out.
Dude, this is like, can I just say, this is like word for word a real argument that I've witnessed in real life.
Was it between you?
No, it was between my old housemates. But I was so funny, I had to be putting down into like fantasy lore.
Yeah, man.
As Clip-Clop and Ursula rounded the corner, they beheld a group of hideous, smelly trolls. Everyone's attention was gathered on the two trolls in the center, arguing. The smell in this fucking cave was awful. It smelled like all the trolls were driving all day in a van that isn't air-conditioned and has vinyl seats in, like, Arizona in August. It smelled like that. The trolls were large and grayish, and they were all wearing dirty, gross loincloths. Ursula wrinkled her nose at the thought of what may lay underneath those fucking rags.
I'm not wrinkling my nose at that.
Josh is...
To each their own. To each their own, Josh.
Josh is, like... doing a come hither with his
Dude, you were saving one spoonful of ice cream? You're such a fucking liar, Larry. You forgot it was even in here until I told you I threw it out. The second troll turned to walk away from Larry and caught sight of Clip-Clop and Ursula. "Intruders!" he bellowed, and 12 smelly trolls turned to look at Ursula and Clip-Clop. Ursula carefully reached back and unsheathed her father's sword. "We seek the tablet at the summit of this mountain," said Clip-Clop calmly. "Let us pass, and we will leave you unscathed." "This mountain ain't called Murder Mountain for nothing," said one of the trolls, raising a giant club and brandishing it at the two trespassers. Suddenly, Clip-Clop let out a mighty yell and charged at the trolls. "Jesus, fuck, Clip, a little heads up," muttered Ursula as she tried to stay on. A troll bellowed as they cantered by him, and Ursula swung her sword at his belly. Gross, revolting troll guts spilled out of him. "Ugh, whoa, sick," said Clip-Clop as they cantered madly around the cave. He kicked out his hind feet, nailing another troll in the balls. They continued in this manner, hacking, slashing, and kicking their way through the trolls until every last one of them lay dead.
You get kicked in the balls by a horse.
Yeah,
dude, I would imagine your balls fly out of your sack.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you're lucky if you keep them.
They like come out of your mouth. It's like your scrotum like reverses itself out of your mouth.
Ursula dismounted and wiped the blood off her sword. "That was fucking rad." Clip-Clop nodded, breathless. "Let's keep going, Ursa. I think the tablet must be close." They made their way through the cave, finally emerging on top of Murder Mountain's snowy peak. The moon shone brightly, lighting their way up the final feet of the mountain path. "There, at the end," Ursula pointed and broke into a run. Sitting atop a great stone table was the tablet. Clip-Clop and Ursula stared at it in awe. Clip-Clop began to read it aloud. "This tablet acts as reward for all who make it to the top of Murder Mountain. Look upon these words and know pure awesomeness." Just then, a bolt of lightning struck the mountain, followed by a sharp crack of thunder that shook the land. Both Clip-Clop and Ursula were knocked down. As the tremors faded, they scrambled back to their feet. "Ursula, holy shit!" Clip-Clop stared at Ursula, unbelieving. She had grown at least a foot, and her muscles suddenly bulged. Great swaths of tattoos now covered her arms. She looked down at herself, alarmed. "My boobs are rad now," she cried, hugging them. She once more unsheathed her father's sword and swung it at the stone table. With a crack, it split in two. "I'm fucking unfuckwittable," she cried. Finally, she turned to look at Clip-Clop. He had also grown and was no longer a pony, but a draft horse of unbelievable size. His feet were the size of dinner trays, and his eyes glowed red. "Clip-Clop, I think you're a necromancer now," exclaimed Ursula. "Fuck that," said Clip-Clop as he cast a party spell on the mountain peak. A disco ball descended from the heavens and drum solos filled their ears. "I'm a fucking necromancer." The end.
That was awesome.
Good word.
That was awesome.
That was really great.
That was a really good story.
I tried really, really hard.
That was great.
You did a really great job. That was awesome.
My story was like shit.
No, yours was so good.
No.
The key to a good story is just put a pun at the end.
Dude, like right at like as soon as you guys texted me about doing this show, I was like, what's a funny like horse pun that I can make? And like that night, like a week ago, I was like, necromancer.
Zane's just asleep in her bed and she sits up, necromancer.
Necromancer.
She like gets on her phone and types it on a note.
Okay, Zane and Josh, are you ready for my tale of mounts and
trolls?
I'm fucking ready. My body is ready.
This one is called Bone Tower.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be sexy.
It was a crisp autumn night. The full moons of Orkspire illuminated the land with a cool glow. Yeah, that's what kind of glow it was. The sound of gorg crickets filled the evening.
Oh, what are those?
It sounded like this. Panama. Bam, 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 Panama.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Inside a dark wizard tower, a tired figure ascended a spiral staircase for what seemed like hours. He reached the top and sighed. He disrobed, tossing his blood-covered clothes and enchanted battle staff in the hallway. He stepped into the moonlight and revealed his dark green skin as he took a deep breath of fresh air. His hair and beard were long and grayed, and half of his face showed the corruption of black magic.
Oh my God.
He was Zolduneth, the troll battle mage.
Whoa.
And he was butt-ass naked. The troll stepped toward the large wooden door to his chamber. With his head down, he pushed it open. He looked up and halted. In his bed was a female elf staring out the window in wizardly fashion.
Shit!
So, you know, she's a wizard too. I thought you left, said Zolduneth. I had a change of plans, replied the elf. Her name was Felicius, and the two had a past. You could tell by the way Zolduneth said, I thought you left. That's storytelling. Anyway, she stood and revealed that she was butt-ass naked, too.
Yeah!
And yo, that body was fine.
Yo, I was right. This story is sexy.
Yeah, this is kind of hot.
She slowly walked toward the battle mage. They embraced. She whispered in his ear, motherfucking kiss the shit out of me. Zolduneth wrapped his long arms around her, and they started making out hard for like an hour. Then the troll laid the fine-ass maiden down and whispered, I fucking magic love you, you goddamn hot-ass weaver of spells. Then he cast a protective shield on his donger because he was in love, but a wise wizard is also a responsible wizard.
Yeah, everyone should cast a protective shield on their donger.
Then the two got it on. You know, it. Anyway, his wizard wangus was going in and out of her wizard vajay.
I'm really glad you explained it because I did not know what it was.
You just can't help yourself. You just can't help it. You just gotta say it.
They started getting so sexy that they started to magically fly, and the dresser fell over, and all these magical artifacts rolled down the stairs, but they didn't give one hot damn. And they had plenty of hot dams, but they weren't giving one motherfucking one.
Holy shit.
Meanwhile, down at the bottom of the tower, all was quiet except for the echoes of the bone sesh that rang throughout the tower. Suddenly, the front door was knocked down as raiders dressed in black, armed with scimitars, stormed the hall. One raider stood on the door and shouted, Rough Raiders, ride or die! Then the Rough Raiders anthem played, and unseen dogs barked randomly. But, no, man, it's like, ow, ow.
That's what it is, sorry.
And someone was like, what you really want? But the wizard sex was so bone-feastingly loud, the two lovers didn't hear a sound. They began thieving and destroying everything in GD sight. Magic vases were smashed, a painting of Zolduneth was busted over a knee, and a candelabra was thrown out the window, which would later be found by an ogre who would use it as a fork.
Oh.
That's, it's practical.
That's awesome.
One orc raider picked up an all-sea ball and said, Hey, what's my brother Alan doing on this thing? He looks sad. Why is he just walking around? Better stay tuned. And sat Indian style. Another raider smashed open a display case and grabbed a wand from it labeled Dance Wand. The raider instantly started booty dropping like a madman. Dude was straight twerking, freaking, and crumping all at the same goddamn time.
Holy
shit was jiggling so hard, and one raider looked directly at it and said, I think I'm in love, and fainted onto a sword, which impaled him, and his heart was stuck on the tip, but it was beating really hard, so yeah, I guess he was really in love with that big old butt, but whatever, rip, I guess.
Holy shit. Holy shit. You're killing me. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh man.
Anyway. Back to the good stuff. The two floating magic lovers were going at it, and they were doing it all. 69-ing, 72-ing, even 101 Dalmatian-ing.
What?
Shit was so sexy, a magic quill began writing down every detail the two passionate porkers sexy.
You gotta keep track of this shit,
sexy
man.
Cute. Oh my god.
The boner party got so intense that they lost complete control and floated out the window. They were making love in the bright moonlight, and one of the moons went, God damn! Oh, God. Downstairs, a magic mirror that Zoldunith intended on getting around to hanging up one day was tilted against the wall. A goblin raider looked into it and saw the horrific reflection. A potato with a poorly drawn face on it instead of his actual face! He screamed and covered himself from the reflection, but soon realized it was only an illusion. With one eye, he looked into the mirror again, but this time he noticed something floating out of the window behind him. He quickly turned and grabbed from his satchel his binoculars and looked into the night. Oh, shit! Said the goblin. He grabbed his badonkulars and looked again. God damn, that is some hot-ass, floating-ass, wizard-ass Zex's sex.
You gotta have the right tools for the job.
That's true, that's true. You came prepared.
Shouted the now boner-fied guy. That's where your whole body is
it's
a boner.
It's just stiff, yeah. Right. Ooh. Right.
Yeah. Upon hearing this declaration of sex, the other raiders stopped their looting and ran outside to get a look at the public boning. A pack gathered and watched. A merc monk even took a break from trying to seduce a nearby tree to take a gander. He looked into the sky, but the sex was so hot, the merc monk whistled, then exploded like a hot dog in the microwave.
They'll do that.
This tiny explosion happened to catch the eye of Zoldunith, who was contorted in a seemingly impossible way. He glanced down at Orkspire and saw the crowd of raiders with his stuff in their hands watching him. He was pissed as shit. Raiders in my home? Shouted Zoldunith. And is that my motherfucking dance wand? He added, pointing to the still twerking, freaking, crumping orc.
He's just out there twerking and crumping, watching this.
He's like trying to look, yeah. But he's just fucking convulsing so hard. The raiders collectively gulped as Zoldunith began spinning like a propeller while still inside Felicius. His hands glowed while spells began to fire down to the raiders. Some fled, some took cover, but one raider stood his ground with Zoldunith's enchanted battle staff in his hand.
What?
The raider's cloak and hood hid his features, except for his long white beard that hung over his chest. Spells struck all around him as he closed his eyes. He pushed the now glowing battle staff forward and began to chant. I wanna lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move to the bed, down to the floor, and I wanna make it so good, I wanna leave, and I wanna what your fantasy. I kind of fucked up that chant a little bit.
That was great.
No, no.
You get it.
That was perfect.
It was good.
I was like, am I listening to Luda? Is this the Ludacast?
Suddenly before him appeared a cloud of black smoke and out stepped a fine-ass fuck-you-bus, which is kind of like a succubus, but also has the ability to hate fuck. She was tit-ass naked, and that butt was like two super full water balloons that were about to fall off the faucet and bounce all the fuck over.
That's the greatest fucking metaphor I have ever heard.
It's such a clear visual.
It's so perfect.
And you know how heavy it is because you're like, oh my god, yeah. It's going to break.
Yeah, ass. And you're like, I got to stop it. Yeah. But you can't.
She Raiden flew feet first onto the raider's cock. And they started doing it. Black magic symbols were appearing in flames all around the two as their bone sesh started making them fly too. Zoldunith was even more pissed as shit. The raider summoned a giant floating purple battle axe. Zoldunith summoned an almost as giant orange sword that had phoenixes flying around it. They all started pumping so hard the magic steel came together in a deafening crash. They began to fuck fight in one of the most sex pick battles to ever take place on Orgsfire.
Holy shit.
Below them, it was pretty much raining sweat and other fluids as the rest of the looters had gathered again to look on.
Oh, God.
The battle went on for what seemed like 30 minutes.
That's a long time.
I guess it could be long. The raider had had enough of this battle and attempted to end it now. With every ounce of energy, he pumped one hard-ass pump, which sent the purple battle axe flying at Zoldanith and Felicius. They fuck dodged it and fuck countered with the swing of their orange sword, which sliced the raider and fuck you bus in two. Their bodies fell to the crowd with a thud. Aw, man, it's over, said another raider. Zoldanith took out his peener and jade acid jay all over the crowd. Everyone screaming and melted. They all died from the Battle Mage's ultra hot J. No one cared.
No one cared.
Oh my god.
Victorious, Zoldanith smiled and said, "That'll teach him to intrude on our love. Right, baby?" He turned to look at Felicius, but she was already gone.
Oh no.
The
what?
End.
What?
Was it her?
What?
Did she plan the whole thing?
Dude, I don't know, man. They got a past. And she just left again, dude.
Whoa, man.
Dom, that was the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I was at serious risk of, like, whizzing. That was so fucking funny.
I thought my heart was going to stop functioning.
Josh and I were, like, slamming into each other with laughter.
Oh, my God. That was fucking hilarious. That was so good.
Well, thank you.
That was the best story ever told, ever.
Is that what that movie, The Greatest Story Ever?
It was this. Yeah, it was this.
About J.C. Bone sesh?
I can't believe you would rip that movie off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Late Night with the Reese's the Wise.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Reese's the Wise, of course. We've got a great show for you this evening. We got Flyman to come in. Yes, exactly. That guy knows. Flyman, yes. Good. All right. Also, we have Grog. Do you remember him from the him being Grog?
What the hell is this? Reese's! What is that live studio audience doing on an RC ball?
I'm hosting a show, Snickerdoodle.
What is this banner? It's... Late Night! With Reese... What? Take that down! Turn this off! No, don't boo me! No, I'm turning this off. Goodbye! I have scrolls here, Reese's. What is this?
I made it.
You made a Late Night show in our chamber.
Yes?
I'm going to have a long talk with you after this. But first, we must get to the scrolls. And you are who? Where are we?
Oh, I am Reese's the Wise, and this is my show!
This is the Chamber of Knowledge.
Chamber of Knowledge.
I am Old Snickerdoodle.
I'm sorry.
That is Reese's the Wise, and we have scrolls here with your questions on.
I got wrapped up in my show, which is...
Yes, that is...
I'm sorry, Snickerdoodle.
Apparent.
I'm very sorry.
You should be.
First scroll, I think, is what
yes,
we
first
did.
Scroll. First scroll. I'll do the scrolling around here.
Okay, top ten scrolls.
No.
Okay. God, just regular scrolls. Okay.
Just at Dingle the Bard asks, what's the minimum wage for the pain mines?
In the pain mines, bottom of the feet flaying with no benefits, of course. Or you can choose to have your eyeballs scooped out with a spoon by Golgar the Pain Warden and watch him add them to his stew. Those are really the only two methods of payment there are in the pain mines.
That's just payment? That sounds like more torture and pain.
It's the pain mines. Hey, what happens in the pain mines stays in the pain mines, you know?
Like, people die there, apparently.
Yeah, you're gonna stay there if you're dead. They just bury you. They don't even do anything about it.
And if you get paid in the pain mines, isn't it a payment?
That is very good, Snickerdoodle. I like that. Yes. I'm going to steal that from you.
Do not use that on your show. I will put it on the show.
Oh, never mind. I will pretend I didn't say that.
Next scroll!
Next scroll is from David Danto. He asks, how did Reese's toenail get made into that ogre's ring?
Well, how did it?
I leave them everywhere, really. One year I just handed them out as birthday presents to all of my friends, so
yeah,
just you, Snickerdoodle, because you're my only friend.
I remember that. I threw it right out.
You threw it? Well, that's probably the one that became the ring, then. We solved that mystery. We cracked that case.
Well, there we go. Question answered.
There it is. Next scroll.
Next scroll. At Elk Noodles asks, my magic ball hasn't been receiving Chamber of Knowledge. Do I need to update my magic OS, or am I under some sort of demonic curse?
That is a very good question.
I think I speak for the both of us when I say, what the shit are you talking about, sir?
I don't even know what any of those words meant. I'm not even going to lie about that.
I think you are under some sort of demonic tongues curse for sure, you wacky weirdo.
I don't understand that question at all.
Next scroll.
Next scroll. Next scroll is from Cameron Rainward. They ask, how do Reezy's or Snickerdoodle deal with running into an ex-girlfriend? I'm in a play with her old roommate, and it's only a matter of time. Help.
Well, you say you were in a play, which to my knowledge, which is vast and superior, it is some sort of physical match of wrestling that you do on Earth.
Yes.
So I suggest you have a friend do the tombstone move to you so your brain gets messed up, and you forget that you ever dated a girl.
That's a very good piece of advice, Snickerdoodle.
Either that, or paint your face with makeup and become a new man.
These are good. These are very good. I would cast an avoidance spell, and if you crit, you'll be double avoidance for the next two times you see her in the coffee shop, because I know what coffee shop you go to, Susan. Stop calling me on my talking stone. We're through. Also,
you dated Cameron's ex-girlfriend?
Maybe. Didn't everybody?
Whoa!
Am I right, Cameron? Give me some fire. Give me some skin, Cameron.
Next scroll!
Next scroll!
Zero asks, is the Chamber of Knowledge caught between all the realms and realities of existence?
Unbelievable.
Sort of, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, what is reality, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, who's to say that even a chair is a chair?
Exactly.
It is a tall wizard tower in the middle of the ocean that moves like the island from Earth Lost.
Yes, but it's real and not stupid.
And I'd also like to note that birds deliver us fruits and nuts and morning wizard cereals with wizard marshmallows in them. My favorite is King Vitamin.
King Vitamin is good. I enjoy that one.
It came with a knight's mask on the back, and I cut it out, and I was a knight for an afternoon.
I remember that, and you refused to take it off even when we had to go outside and deal with real-life things. You kept wearing it as if it was okay to do that, which, actually, looking back, it was really funny, and it was okay.
It was, yes, I know I was wearing the mask.
Do you know where it is now? You should put it on again.
This is the Chamber of Knowledge, but I do not know where that mask is.
That is really ironic.
How about that?
That is so ironic.
How about that nougat of information? That's right, a nougat, a chocolate nougat.
I'm really hungry now.
Tell me about it next scroll!
Next scroll is from Alex Austin. He asks, if either of you were reincarnated as another species, what would you want to be? Snickerdoodle.
Merman!
Did you say woman?
I said merman!
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. I was gonna...
You know that!
I did know that. You do talk about that a lot. And
I do watercolors!
You painted.
He is a merman!
I would want to be your mama's pussy while I'm fucking it. Next scroll. Wait! An elephant snake. Yeah, we have those. No! A beautiful poem.
Well, that I don't think that's a species, but I am... That is sophisticated.
It's a species of beauty, Snickerdoodle. It's a species of beauty.
Sometimes you tune into this program. and you learn something about yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Chamber of Knowledge. We ask that you donate to our member drive.
Yes.
Which is 17 wizard tokens, and pretty much that allows us to buy cool things for us.
Next week on the show, we're going to have Throm.
Throm will not be in this establishment, I forbid it.
I was talking about the late night show, Snickerdoodle. He's
you
going
do
to
not
be.
Have a late night show, and it does not happen in this chamber.
Maybe it does when you go to sleep, I don't know. You gotta sleep sometimes, Snickerdoodle.
Sometimes I think that night mask comes to life when I sleep and it comes around.
Snickerdoodle, I told you that was a nightmare.
That was real. I have the paper cut scar. The paper cut scar that I can show you. Look, maybe this got too spooky. Let's get out of here.
I'm afraid. Okay, let's. Good night.
Good night.
Well, that was more late night show from Reese's and Snickerdoodle.
Yeah, apparently they have a late night show now. I didn't know that.
Well, one of them, I guess.
Yeah, well, one of them's trying. Hey, you gotta try, you know?
You gotta try.
You never know what it could lead to.
Exactly.
Network TV, man.
Network.
How do you think Jay Leno started? He was in a tower all by himself.
Sure.
Talking
enough.
To an all-sea ball.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the show, everyone. And thank you, Zane, for being on an episode of the
thanks,
show.
Zane.
You were a great guest, and we'd love to have you back.
Yeah, you did
so
great.
Much.
You were, I know you were a little worried.
I was nervous.
Your story was
I
really
was nervous
good.
That it I, my story wouldn't be up to par. But thank you so much, for guys, for having me on. It was awesome,
yeah.
And I would totally do it again. I'm DTR, down to record.
DTR, definitely.
Also, thank you to Sean Pike, who drew a picture of Buffcat, Bane McGowan, who drew a great picture of Flyman, and Danny Saya, yet again, with that tomato from hell from that old man story in Josh's drunken tale.
I forgot. I didn't even know what it was, because I forgot I wrote about the tomato from hell, and I was like, what? What is this from? I thought it was from your story, but I was like,
from
oh.
hell!
Totally forgot about it. Also, we drank a 40, so...
Yeah,
that might
I mean,
have something to do with it.
And if you want to follow us on Facebook or Twitter, which is where we ask for prompts and questions from Reese's and Snickerdoodle, feel free to do so. We'll leave that stuff in the show notes as always. And
if you want to check out our iTunes page, if that's how you download the show, if not, you may go to Podomatic and do that. But if you're on iTunes, leave a comment if you want. It really helps us out. Sometimes we get on the new and noteworthy thing. It's pretty cool. So say a nice thing or say a mean thing. I don't care.
Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Live how you want to live. Play how you want to play.
Yeah, the Addams Family.
Well, the fan okay. Well, I thought that was something original that I wrote. But...
Good work, Dom.
Okay. All right. For next week, our prompts will be Succubus, which I did a little bit this week, but I'm going to revisit it.
I'm ready. Dude, after hearing your story, I'm ready to write some fucking porno. I'm fucking ready, dude.
I think that's going to up our demo with 14-year-olds, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I wrote this episode.
Well, they're on the internet, and there's no porn on the internet, so they'll definitely listen to our show.
You
got
to listen to this show, and then be like, oh, right, porn. And then you go look at the porn.
I think the world is definitely ready for, like, some Josh Henderson porn.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think deep down inside, every guy knows that he could write a fucking awesome porn.
Absolutely.
I think that's true for every man.
We do it every day, all day, in our heads. I mean, right, guys? It's not just me, right? I don't have a problem.
Leave a comment. But the Succubus prompt was submitted to us by Ben Dahl of the awesome fucking black metal band Ritual. If
Fuck
you want to
yeah.
check them out, go to ritualband.com. If you like black metal, I highly recommend it. And the other prompt will be Banshees, and that's submitted by Josh Robertson. So I think those are two great prompts that go together pretty
those
well.
Those are perfect. They work well together in my
brain. I hope you're ready for a ghost. The episode and a sexy episode.
A sexy ghost episode.
Every episode. But once again, Zane, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much. It was awesome.
I think Zane should do the out.
Oh yeah, Zane, you know what we do. You know here. What
I do. Am I worthy?
Yeah, totally, absolutely.
I can't do it cool
yes.
like Josh.
Do I do it?
He is.
He is worthy.
All right.
He is worthy.
Keep on wizarding.
Perfect.
Keep on wizarding. Josh, complete the trifecta.
Keep on wizarding.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Zane, say bye.